and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 418. My name is Chris Ferricchio, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Travis Baum.
Ma'am.
Ma'am.
Oh, God. That should be a hint at the things to come later on.
Yeah.
Today we're going to do some distractions, and we have one or two news stories that we're going to talk about. But before that, let's see what's going on. Jeff, how you doing, buddy? We missed you last week.
Doing all right. Yeah, I had stuff going down last week. Can't remember what.
Don't worry, Chris and I had a great show without you.
I believe it. I believe it.
It's never the same without you, Jeff.
Thanks, Chris. You're so nice. I'm doing all right. Tonight, went out with a friend of mine's at work, 40th birthday, so went out for a birthday and ate some good food and had some drinks, and now I'm back here with you motherfuckers, and we're going to talk about some games and stuff.
Motherfuckers? Yeah. Somebody's had a couple drinks tonight.
A little bit. I'm pulling a Chris there, motherfuckers.
Man, it's been a while for that, huh? Yeah, you guys haven't heard the motherfucker from me in a while.
No. In quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, not drinking
Chris,
as much.
How you doing? Sorry, as I hiccuped during that sentence.
I thought he threw up in his mouth a little bit.
I'm pretty sure he might have. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Lenny!
Not much is going on.
You just got that.
Not much to report over here. Just, it was a relatively boring week. I am getting some oral surgery done on Monday. That's exciting.
For a second, I got a little excited for you, and then you went with the urgery, and then I was like, "Oh man, that sucks."
Yeah, it's not going to be that bad. I'm not too worried about it. They're my adult canines. Three of them never came in, so they're basically going to just work on pulling them down and attaching them to my braces.
What?
So yeah, they're going to try. They're going to basically surgically go in. Put a bracket on the top of each tooth and then attach to the braces, and they're going to slowly pull in the canines that never came in.
Oh, God, no.
Does that sound bad to you? It doesn't sound
bad
to me.
Yeah, that sounds fucking terrible. I don't know what kind of like positive reinforcement you got going on where that does not sound fucking terrible, but dude, that sounds horrible. God damn.
It doesn't really scare me. The dentist has never really scared me. You know, it's never been a thing that I've been hesitant about doing, like going to the dentist, going to the orthodontist, getting the braces, whatever. The only reason it took me so long to get braces is because we didn't have the money when I was growing up. You know, it's like we were very lower middle class when I was growing up with my mom. So, she didn't have the money to get them for me. That's the only reason I never got them. So, it just doesn't really concern me. So we'll see how it goes. But it's better than it was supposed to be because they're only doing the canines. They were going to do my wisdom teeth too, but they decided to put that off. So yeah, four wisdom teeth removed and three canines extracted. That sounds worse.
Yeah, but, the dentist always has fucked me up. Like always.
Yeah.
It's always a nerve-wracking thing for me. Yeah, and it stems from childhood because you know, some people don't like to go into the water because of Jaws. I don't like going to the dentist because Little Shop of Horrors. This is no joke. That's not making a crack or a goof or anything.
No, dude, that's fair. Goof. That's fair, man. That's fair.
Yeah, goof. I love that.
That movie ruined the dentist for me. Like, it's so horrible. That was Steve Martin, right? Wasn't it? Yeah, that was Steve Martin.
No, it was Rick Martin. Steve Martin. Yeah, Steve Martin and Rick Moranis. So
yeah, Rick Moranis. That's it. Yeah.
Oh man. Ooh. I'm glad he got ate up by the plant. Spoilers for those who have not seen Little Shop of Horrors. We apologize.
By the way, that's in Smash Brothers now.
We're finally going to get emails. Yes. Oh my God, you guys fucking like just spoiled Little Shop of Horrors for me.
Oh my God,
you spoiled that movie from the mid '80s. but yeah, that's it for me. So I don't have any other anything else to report at this time. So Travis, what's up?
Not much. I watched Little Shop of Horrors this week. It was pretty fun.
Did you actually? Because that would be funny as shit.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I figured you didn't, but I had to ask.
No, crazy busy week at work. So no oral surgery. No 40th birthday parties to report. Had a couple of good shoots this week. It's pretty fun. Really liking my job. Usually, like, it's just one of those times where work is so busy and you have so much extra responsibility. And man, you were just like in the zone the entire time. You're getting shit done and the week's flying by real fast. And then by the end of the week, you're like, you look back and you're like, oh my God, I did so much shit this week. And it just, I don't know, it just feels good. So I came into the weekend like nice and pumped, ready to go, ready to podcast, feeling great, playing a lot of video games or video game.
Yeah, one singular. Particular game.
And we can just transition right into that bitch.
No, go ahead. Well, are you both doing it? Are you both playing it?
What? Red Dead?
Red Dead.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Sure.
Hell yeah.
Go for it. It's all your all show. Right. I'm gonna sit back and listen.
I've had a roller coaster ride with Red Dead. I went from really liking it to not liking it to talking to Travis the last episode we were on to kind of liking it again to absolutely fucking hating it. to being absolutely in love with it right now.
It's fucking good.
It's honestly.
Why do you play with my emotions?
Dude, this is the thing. It's like, I hate when people say this about any game. You have to play for like 10 hours for it to understand it and it gets good. But this, like, to me, that's what it's been. The only reason I've stuck with it is not because of the writing and the story. Mm-hmm. I really like the characters. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, as boring as the shit I'm doing is, I'm going to keep going with it. But now it's kind of ramping up where the story's getting really good. The missions are getting really good. I still think the combat is absolutely fucking atrocious. And I think it's honestly the worst Rockstar has done with combat ever. Like, I mean, I can't say ever because I haven't played Grand Theft Auto 3 in like forever. But
being in 60 hours deep into this game, I can say I can objectively agree with you that, yeah, the combat is definitely the least appealing part of the game. I think the weapons actually feel a little weak.
They do.
To be honest with you. Like, that's
like
my
pea shooters.
Yeah, that's my main gripe with the, and maybe that's a part of the realism. Maybe I'm just like underestimating exactly how weak weapons were back then. But like, because what we get of westerns is movies. So guys like just does like pow 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 and kills like five guys with one shot. Like,
but you can do that in this.
Which you can do that, but like, you're not going to use your dead eye the entire time. You have a finite amount of it. So the majority of your combat is going to be in real-time combat. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, during that time, yeah, it can be frustrating.
It's
but
not even the bullet stuff. It's just like, just the way you move in combat. The cover system is fucking awful. Like, it, like, out of all these third-person shooters that have been released in the past 10 years, like all the Uncharted and the Gears of War and the fucking Tomb Raiders, they do cover combat so well. And I don't know how they can't even get that right. Like, just even getting into cover and out of cover is, it seems like there's so much lag on any free input you put when you're trying to take cover or anything.
Well, I think that's due to the animation system, honestly. Every
regardless of what it's for, yeah.
You're right. It's not an excuse whatsoever I'm making for them, but it's because their animation system, like, even if you're standing above a sack and the prompt is press hold Y to reach into sack, sometimes he'll slowly like pan to the right a little bit, or maybe even back up a step while he's panning, just to get into position for the realistic animation to go.
And it does that in combat when you're trying to take cover.
Yeah,
which is
it can
annoying.
Do that. If it's a flat wall,
but it's not even
the combat end. Your chances are you're just gonna like suck into that. But if it's a rock or a tilted fence or something,
he's gonna
like that,
back up a bit, then take the cover. And like, it's not even like the animation is like that mind blowing. Like all these other games I mentioned before that have just as good animation going into cover than this. And it's just it just makes every time I go to a combat mission or I'm going to combat, I kind of cringe. And it's also like all the combat seems the same. It's like you're hunkered down undercover and you're basically shooting people till the red dots go away. Like, there's no strategy to it whatsoever.
AI's not that complex either.
No, it basically goes in and out of cover and you just kind of shoot them, whatever. That's fine. But after I got past that, I'm like, you know what? This is fine. I got into a good gameplay loop. I think that's what did it for me, because I was kind of overwhelmed with the chores you need to do and the upkeep you have to do, everything. So basically, I would do this. I would get up in the morning in the game, not in real life. I would do two chores, and then I would do a mission or two missions, come back, clean my guns, do whatever, and rinse and repeat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Once I got into that like loop, and once the missions started ramping up in terms of how interesting they are, because I thought they were just really, really boring for the first, like, 6-8 hours. Like, they were just not fun. Then I got into this loop of like, okay, this is cool. This is getting better. And the side missions that I kind of found throughout the world were interesting me, or grabbing me, I guess. And now I love it. Like, now I played it. I've had a couple days off work because I messed up my neck again. So I took a couple days off work, and I think it was on Friday, yesterday. I wanted to play it for like an hour, and I played it for a long time. I couldn't stop playing it. Like, I was like, I'm going to take a break. Remember I was telling you guys last time I'd play it for a bit and be like, I'm going to play something else, or I want to play something else. Mm-hmm. No, I wanted to keep playing Red Dead. Like, I was just like, that's what I want to do. And I got, once I kind of come back, it's like, this is a relaxing game at this point. It kind of grabbed me, and I was like, okay, this is doable. And then now I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul, I think, hopefully, because I'm really liking the story, the characters. Everything except for the combat, honestly, is just really, really, really good. So
yeah, I'm kind of want to kick off right where you ended and talk about the characters. This is, you're going to hear this initial beginning to a phrase a lot in the next few minutes. This is my favorite blank ever. So starting with the characters, this is my favorite ensemble of characters ever in a video game, period. Like, period. Usually in video games, especially with a large cast of characters in modern video games, you know, there are a couple of throwaway characters here and there. There's a couple of characters that you maybe not really care about or just never want to talk to or anything like that. But it's so weird that, like, I could go walk around the camp and I would know exactly who that person is, what kind of person they are, what they like, what they dislike, know their names. Like, I can look at any of those character models right off the bat and just be like, that's Mary Beth. That's Karen. That's Dutch. Of course, Dutch. Obviously, but like, you know, but like, you sit there and you know them all. You know these people, and they're so well fleshed out. And I think it's because of probably my favorite part of this game is that it's the most contextual interactive experience I've ever had in my entire life. You know, you go and you see two people arguing. It's just a random argument in the camp. And they, in their discussion, they walk away, and you can actually walk up to one of the people that were involved in an argument, just randomly greet them, and you'll have a 15-20 second conversation about the argument that they just had. Another good example of it is doing a random bounty, and you're riding your horse with your bounty strapped, hog tied to your back, and they're just sitting there whining, complaining, let me go, I'll give you money, I'll give you gold, you know, you're really gonna rue the day you met me, and then you have an option to punch them, to shut them up. There is a contextual response every time you hit punch based on what that character is saying. So if that character is saying, you're gonna rue the day you met me, you could punch them, and Arthur is gonna say, rue this, or something contextual.
Yeah.
So there's a response, there's a verbal response to every single thing in this game. And I sometimes try to find myself trying to break the game, and I've yet to be able to do it on purpose.
Like how so?
Like, just try to, like, elicit a repeating response from somebody.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah, no,
like,
they're
just,
all,
it's
just,
yeah. It's so random. And speaking of, like, trying to get a repeat thing, I am 60 or 70 hours into this game. I'm probably, honestly, I'll go this far and say, I'm probably, like, two or three missions around there, maybe four, away from seeing credits. I'm right at the very end.
Got to New Orleans, technically.
Okay.
Like, just a little bit, like about an hour into New Orleans.
Right.
Or Saint Denis, or whatever the hell
Saint
it's called.
Saint Denis, yeah. I have not seen, as deep as I am in this game, I have not had one random dynamic world event repeat. I have not heard one outside town comment repeat. Like, they have filled this game up.
I've had some of the side stuff repeat. Like when you find stuff on the street, I've had some of those repeat. Not necessarily with, like, it'll change up, it'll be a female or a male, mm-hmm. or like something like that, but I've had some of those.
Short of things like when you greet a random stranger walking down the street, like, howdy, partner, like little things like that will repeat, but that kind of makes sense to repeat because us as human beings, we have our, like, grab bag.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Yeah. Yeah, hey, Travis, how you doing? I'm doing well. You're not gonna be like, hey, Travis, how you doing? Go fuck yourself. Like, it's like, yeah, it's not gonna be like you're basically gonna have like one or two different things you're gonna reply to somebody when they ask you that.
So like, just contextually, like based on whatever situation you are in this game, it feels like Rockstar is prepared for a response for whatever you're doing, and it is just amazing how much time they put into that, and it makes that world so real, so believable to me, and I'm really, really digging it. This is, going back to my phrase, my favorite story in a video game.
Yeah, I think it might be in mine too, yeah.
Ever. The progression of these characters as you're going through this game, the highs and the lows, you really, really feel the emotional weight and the emotional punch of every single thing that happens. Every truth, every consequence that happens in this game bears weight. And man, I got to tell you, I am so invested, and I'm at the point in the game where I know exactly what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know exactly how everything is going to play out and be laid out for the future. And I am still waiting on bated breath, like to see like what's going to happen.
Yeah,
oh my god! Like, come on, give it to me.
Point today, and there's a certain thing that happens. And basically your entire posse is like, we're going to go fuck these people up. That's fucked up. That's mm-hmm. that's something you do not do in war, whatever. You just do not do whatever mm-hmm. this people did. And there's a scene where you're all, I took a screenshot of it and put it on Twitter, and you're all walking in a row up to this mm-hmm. mansion about to fuck shit up. And I was so like, we're going to go in there. Like, you don't mess with the posse. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I was so pissed. I'm like, we're going in there and we're going to fucking, we're not going to take names. We're not even going to get a chance to take fucking names. So we're going to go in there and kick fucking ass. And it was like so much emotion. I've never like felt that playing a game in a long time, where I felt like, honestly, the only time I felt like an actual raw emotion in terms of like fuck that was The Darkness. Do you guys remember The Darkness, the first one, where the villain shoots your girlfriend and you're watching outside the door.
Yeah.
That, and I was like, what the fuck? It was like that similar thing. That feeling of going into this mission, that's like the whole cinematic of like mm-hmm. not even cinematic, because you're actually controlling the character and you're all walking up and it's like
there's weight to just walking. Like it's so great. Yeah,
yeah.
I know. And as much as you don't like the combat, I bet you couldn't wait to fucking pull that trigger.
In that part, I was like, I don't give a shit how this combat is. I am fucking everybody here up. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yeah. But I was like, I haven't had that feeling of like emotion of like emotional attachment, because like all the characters that were with me, I knew all of them, went on missions with them, talked mm-hmm. to them, got some of their backstory. And then, you know, especially John's there, which is a big part of this scene. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even though you don't really get along, like you get along with John, like Arthur, they've had issues in the past, they've had history for sure. But even Arthur's like, nah, this is fucked up. We're going to go get these motherfuckers. And I was just like, fuck yes. And I was like, please, Rockstar, don't pull this like the rug under my feet and make it so I cannot get certain vengeance on this part, because I will be so mad. And the payoff is great. And
so
I was
great.
Like, fuck yeah. I'm like, this is so good. Yeah, it's got me. Like, I think it literally went from I'm probably going to stop playing this game to I'm not going to stop playing this game. Literally within like within a week, I literally went like it, don't like it, fucking hate it, I'm done with this game, I'm not going to play it anymore.
Yeah.
To no, look, this game's great.
I'm not a fan of it, but I don't have as much distaste at the comment of you need to wait about 10 hours before the game takes off type of mentality.
Yeah.
I don't like it either, but it's like it doesn't make or break my early game experience
but
for
if
me.
It, but I have to say that because that's what it was for me. Like,
Sure.
If I didn't give the 10 hours, I would have quit at 8.
And I get that. But I got to say that if more games pay dividends in your ability to invest your time into that early section, that early slog, if more games pay dividends like this, this would not be an issue. I don't think. Because the dividends that this pays is so
But you have
well
to go through
it.
There with those dividends, though. My thing is, I don't think the game does a good job of, like, Red Dead 1, or, like, Red Dead Redemption 1, not Red Dead Revolver, starts off with, like, a bit of a bang. It's like, it starts off like, oh, shit, this is cool, you're right into it, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Whereas this doesn't have that. It doesn't have that, like, opening, like, holy crap, I'm invested moment. It literally doesn't have that until, honestly, like, even though I was already invested before the point I was just telling you about, that's the first point I was like, holy shit, this is
I thought Red Dead missions were boring. I don't agree that Red Dead 1 starts off with like a real bang. I mean,
it doesn't start off with a bang, but it starts off with like
you walk up to a fort, you get shot, and then you ranch for like 4 hours.
Well, that's true. You do ranch for four hours. Yeah, you're driving around with what's her name,
Ivani
for a bit. Yeah, like riding horses and shit like that. I don't know. Maybe it was a different time. I don't know. Maybe now like the ADD is set in. It was like 8 years ago. But I didn't think that none of the missions grabbed me. I was like, these missions are actually boring until I got to a certain point. I'm like, these missions are getting better. They're getting better. There seems to be
Once
like more
heists
consequence.
Start happening, it really starts to ramp
up.
Yes,
they get the first, like, the bank robbery you do, and you like the second train. Like, it's like, it ramps up. I like that you do have kind of like a moral code you have to kind of go by if you want to be like a douche or be like an honorable outlaw, which I'm going pretty much honorable for the most part.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like with the character of Arthur that they're giving you, like he's got a preset moral code in the cutscenes, so it's kind of hard It's kind of hard to run around and then start murdering people all over the place.
And then in cutscene, he's trying to like. What's best for the the thing and be like morally, you know, confined to his beliefs.
Yeah,
I get that, and that's fine,
which is fine. Yeah,
But I'm really liking it, man. Like Chris, you haven't played it yet at all, right?
I haven't. No.
But again, I can stick with it. If you didn't like the first one, you're not gonna like this one.
At the point where I'm at, man, I gotta tell you, Chris, I think you should play it. God damn it, Chris! It's so good. Like if you just want one of the most profound narrative experiences in a video game, I think it's worth to try to get past the things that you don't like. I understand you don't like the slow traversal. I know that traversal is one of the big things that kind of pushes you against it.
Yeah, but you guys were just complaining about the gunplay, too, and that's not helping
much. Oh, the gunplay sucks.
Much.
From
what you're talking about, I understand that, you know, you love the characters and you love the story, but... And characters in the story are important, but to me, it's all about gameplay, man. And if the gameplay is not there, I'm not gonna play it.
I think the gameplay is fun, though. Like it has its issues. It's not a perfect game. It's not broken though. There are games that do like a lot of combat. Like, well, I don't know about worse, but like they're.
Yeah.
See, and that's not a very bright star, dude.
But
it's like for right
not,
now, I really can't think of a game that has worse combat. I mean, that's not a good.
A game like Infamous has way better combat and way better traversal, but it can't touch Red Dead in the actual like context of missions and story, atmosphere and characters. So it's like it depends on which one you're weighing out. It's like what do you put
the
more
traversal
into, which,
and the gameplay are definitely more
important. If those are more important to you, then you probably won't like it.
But it's especially the traversal. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like I know Grand Theft Auto is a good game. I understand they are good games. I don't like them because it's a trudge to get around the city.
It's a Rockstar. You don't like Rockstar games. And it's fine. It's like, it's not your thing. You don't like Rockstar, but their games are a certain formula. This one is probably the most different it's ever been from that formula, but it's not going to make someone who doesn't like their previous formula like the new formula.
Yeah.
And it's actually slower. So,
there's still a good chance that I'm going to go back and play it. I'm just not going to play it now. There's too many games coming out. I'm playing Tomb Raider right now. I'm still playing Valkyria Chronicles. Fucking Fallout 76 is coming out. Darksiders is coming out. There's a lot of stuff coming out, and it's just not. It's not on my radar yet. It's not on my radar right now. So I understand that it's probably a great game, and a lot of people are going to love it, and it's going to get tens across the board from some people.
It has. Yeah. I don't think
and,
they're.
And it has.
Well,
but
yeah, that's. I'm going to still wait it out. Like, I mean,
I'm going to wait until it goes on sale, or there's like a fucking Game of the Year edition that comes with everything, and I don't know. I'll figure out when I'm going to get it, but it's definitely not going to be now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm liking it. I've done a 180.
It's been a phenomenal experience.
I mean, like, Travis jumped in and he invited me, like, it was the day after we recorded last time, and he's like, yeah, hey, how you feeling now? He's talking about it, give me some tips or whatever, and I was like, yeah. But that kind of helped me get over that hump of being like, yeah, I don't like this game. And I love Red Dead. I think Bayonetta was my game of the year that year, but I think Red Dead was second for me. I can't remember. I think they came out in the same year, I think. Did Red Dead and Bayonetta come out the same year? I can't remember.
I don't remember. It was too long
ago,
man.
A long time ago. But anyway, yeah, I'm enjoying it now. I'm really liking it.
Yeah, definitely going to be an interesting Game of the Year discussion for me, because there were a lot of really, really good games. Like, number one will probably be the easiest one to choose, but what falls under number one is going
to
be
My number one's going to be the hardest one, to be honest with you. Really? I have like three or four games that are like, fuck. Like, I got the Spider-Man DLC. I haven't started playing that yet, and I need to get into that. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's it for me. That is all I'm playing.
I played some Call of Duty, Team Deathmatch, Call of Duty, whatever. Nothing else here.
Whatever.
No, I really like it's. There's not. I don't want to bore people with Call of Duty talk. It's Call of fucking Duty. So
yeah.
Call of fucking Duty. Well, Chris, I know you played a couple of new games. So what you got?
But yeah. So well, no, only one. The only thing I played is a little bit of the. And I'm what I'm talking about is literally off of like 3 or 4 hours of play. So. Mm-hmm. I did play some of the Fallout 76 beta. I played with Spider from our Void Wardens group. It feels like Fallout. I mean, the game feels like Fallout. That's a plus.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is it doesn't change the way the game feels by adding co-op or MMO type, features to it. The game still feels like Fallout. VATS still exists. It just works a little different because it doesn't slow down time. It's more of like an auto aim, essentially. So, if you click on L1, it'll bring up VATS. And if you've put, enough points into the special stat and have unlocked the right skills or are playing the right cards. So I'll get to that in a second. But if you're playing the right cards, then, you know, you can aim for limbs in the head and stuff like that, but you have to be really quick about it because everything is still in real time. The special starts out differently. So you start out with one in every stat. And then as you go up levels, you unlock points for those stats. And as you add points to those stats, you earn new cards, that essentially are perks. You can have, I believe, at the start, as long as you have like two or greater in a stat, you can add a perk card, to that stat. And you can actually, like, I don't know where it happened, but we were doing, there's like public events as well. We were doing an event and I picked up a card pack and I opened it up and it gave me a bunch of new perks that I could choose from. So that was pretty interesting. So the public event, it was something that, the way that worked is we ended up going into an area where, this thing just kicked off, and it basically had a situation where some farming robots went crazy and they were, you know, shooting out the place. So you had to hunt down the farming supervisor bots and take them out. And that was something that everybody could take part of. And got bonuses for once it was done. So that was pretty cool. We didn't see any griefers at all. So we passed lots of people. Nobody I never saw one player attack another player.
That's honestly surprising.
We were floored. Yeah, we were completely floored by it because we walked by Spider got to level 7. I got to like 5 or 6. And we were getting passed by like 12, 14. I mean, these guys could have laid waste to us and nobody fucked with us at all. As a matter of fact, during one of the events, like two people showed up and helped. So, you know, I'm interested to see where this goes. I do have a pre-order in for it. I think I'm going to keep that pre-order since I know that there's going to be some people to play with. I'm not sure how long I'll play it because we were talking about gameplay story and all that. The gameplay is Fallout, so I'm fine with that. the story is, from what I gather from the beta, and I'm sure it's going to expand, but it's essentially non-existent. Like, you wake up in the vault, and the vault is empty, and it's like this reemergence day, and everybody in the vault is supposed to go out into the real world and go out into the world and begin rebuilding, right? So, but you wake up and no one's there, and you start finding recordings of the Overseer, and you're basically trying to track down the Overseer. And we didn't get far enough to really see what was after that, but we got like two or three missions in, and it's all about the Overseer at this point. One of the things that kind of was weird was we didn't see any NPCs at all. Like, the only NPCs we saw were robots. So I'm not sure how that works. Most of the story was told via recordings, like notes and that you pick up and stuff like that. So I'm not sure how that's going to mesh with what we're used to with Fallout. And, you know, I love Fallout, so I want to play this game, and I'm going to. I'm just not sure where it's going to go. I didn't get enough from the beta to really know, you know, is it going to have legs? Are there a lot of people going to play it?
Yeah.
Is it going to end up getting slammed by reviewers, which I think it will, to be honest with you?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, and then, but like the gunplay was what you would expect from Fallout, like, you know, it's
so better than Red Dead.
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question.
Somewhere in between Red Dead and Skyrim.
I love the gunplay in Skyrim. Okay,
Borderlands.
Borderlands.
It sounds like it's possible because this is the beta, so it could be possible that they're kind of like holding off the NPCs. Yeah.
And that's what I think. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they're holding off on some of this stuff. And I'm hoping that the one thing I will say is that I didn't see anything super glitchy or unusual while playing. Like, I didn't see anything.
Sure, it was a Bethesda
floating
game
in the air. I know, right? I didn't see anything floating in the air. I didn't, you know, fall through the world or any of that shit. The only thing that Spider and I actually discussed was, like, there was this one place where there was one building that we entered, and we were trying to track someone down, and like the frame rate just died on us. It just got really bad.
Sounds like Bethesda.
Yeah, right. But I mean, even on a pro, it was bad. And I'm like, I really hope they, you know, they fix that. That's something that needs to be addressed. So, from what I played of it, it feels like Fallout. So I'm definitely going to give it a chance. That we are going to have people to play it with. Yeah, I guess we'll find out. We'll see how it goes. But lots of missions right out of the gate, man. There was a lot of stuff to do. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, off the cuff, it just doesn't sound like an experience.
I'm not interested.
And I love Fallout, and I just don't like the premise of this. Like, what, you know, even when Todd Howard announced it, I was just like, I don't know about this, man. Like, this doesn't sound appealing. It just sounds like a mess.
And you're right to be skeptical about it. You know, yeah. There's a reason to be skeptical. The only thing that I can tell you is it feels like Fallout. The game feels like Fallout. And when you play it, you're just playing co-op Fallout. That's what we experienced.
And I'll be honest with you too. Like, even if I was excited about this game, I have no clue how I would be able to even start playing this after a game like Red Dead. Going into a world that's crafted in such a very, very specific.
Red Dead snub.
I know, right?
Before, it's like, well, no.
Have you played the Red Dead Redemption? It is the greatest. I don't want your Fallout. Jesus Christ.
I'm not stating it as in it
I know,
is.
We're fucking with you, man.
I know, it's, man. It's all good.
Like I said, it's so contextual. It's so slow, so deliberate. And yeah, it has a degree of like realism in it.
Realism too, yeah.
And you go into a game, like, I don't even think I could go back into Assassin's Creed Odyssey and be like, I think it would be such a contrast, an experience, to be like, I'm not ready to jump in to any open world game. I think if the next game out was an open world game, I'd probably have to put a pass on it. And like, let me wait a month. to jump into that, because I feel like right after I finish Red Dead, I need like another Dead Cells or something, like a 2D Metroidvania, something like so, that.
I'm going to let you take a sip of your IPA before you continue.
No, I'm just saying, because like other, this is a, Red Dead is a very different
it is
open world game, and it's like we're used to the Ubisoft open world games, like shoved down our throat. Yeah, we're used to that, and this that game is definitely
like,
not that.
Like fucking like map vomit all over the place, just like
right.
Go here, go here, go here.
Icons.
Go here.
I just don't think I have the mental capacity to ingest more open world games just in general. Because this game was so deliberate in its style, so
I getcha.
So a game like Fallout
that'll happen
would just be too much. It'd be way too.
No,
much
that's happened to me too. Like, I mean, yeah, you'll play a game that's just so fucking good, and then you're like, well, if another game you play that's a similar style doesn't like, you don't feel that in the first like half an hour, you're like, well, fuck, this game sucks. Like, I've been there before. Yeah, I think it's like we said, just give it a month or two and be like, okay, and then we dive into something different.
So Dead Cells 2, when's that coming out? Is that next week?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Anything else, Chris?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I guess we'll find out more when the game actually comes out, because I am going to leave my pre-order in and get it. So
sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Jumping into some news. News. All right, so guys, this week.
Brought to you by Travis Bomb.
News.
Bomb.
It's coming at you hot.
Dropping the bomb.
Okay, let's get on with it.
That's right.
Okay, guys, BlizzCon.
Welcome to the Indus ASMR podcast.
Did you guys know BlizzCon was this week?
I did.
Wow.
I could smell it from here.
Before, dude. The mood was excitable.
I'm sure it was.
Because day one, on the big stage, Diablo is going to be there in the house.
Oh, on the Switch?
Well, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. I mean, the Switch.
I mean, it's great. That's a great place
to play. Yeah, that'd be a great place to play. It's Diablo. I was going to say, Diablo on the Switch? Why not? Well, I haven't won it. It's not going to look as good, but I mean, whatever. It's Diablo. Diablo's great. Yeah, and it's all the DLC and everything, so it's great. But that wasn't the big announcement. We knew that there was
Overwatch 2.
We knew the big announcement was not going to be just Diablo on the Switch when Diablo is on the big stage night one. We were like, okay, there is going to be a new Diablo announcement. And guys, there was, hold on to your ass.
I'm holding.
Diablo,
both hands on said ass.
Immortal.
Ooh, this sounds interesting.
Fuck,
tell me more.
That sounds awesome.
Tell me
so
more.
Diablo 4?
So basically, you pick up your phone and then you play
what?
Diablo on that.
Wait, what?
It's a mobile game.
Mobile.
I'm trying to make the game sound better, so I'm saying mobile instead of mobile.
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 But I can play mobile-y on my Switch.
Technically, you can, and it'll be a much better game because the screenshots that we got of this game look pretty. It looks like a mobile game, to be honest with you. So so fans of Diablo are super, super, as gamers are, pissed off at this announcement.
I'm entitled.
well, maybe not put fucking Diablo on the main stage night one. Don't fucking do that. Like, that's ridiculous. So people are pissed off, and Blizzard knows that. So speaking with IGN at BlizzCon, Blizzard's representative Wyatt Chang responded to the community's reaction.
Tough shit, we make so much money, you're gonna buy this.
As well as accusations that this is a reskin of a previous game built by Blizzard's partner in this mobile game, company called NetEase. So there's accusations that this is a reskin of one of their previous games called Crusader of Light. Crusaders of Light.
I remember that old ass game, Crusader.
You don't remember this game.
Oh, okay, never mind.
You did not play it, I promise. It's mobile.
So
Wyatt Chang says, I don't think mobile should be a dirty word. When it came to looking at making a new Diablo game and this opportunity to partner with NetEase to make this, the technology is there where our mobile phones are more powerful than ever and they're capable of top-tier gaming experiences. God, I first of all...
I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, what makes you think
that... No, I'm kind of serious. Like,
I know,
like,
I'm
like, it's like, oh, man. Like, big stage, BlizzCon, big announcement, whatever. Everyone, there's so many smelly bastards. I'm not being that to be like, oh, I'm making fun. I am a nerd. But, you know, there's been shit coming out of there, being like, whatever. And with their hard-ons for this new Diablo, and they're like, oh, you can play it on your phone. But it's not actually Diablo. It is, but it's not.
But to defend it and say this is a top-tier gaming experience, like, it's so ridiculous. Like even with Bethesda announcing an Elder Scrolls mobile game, people love Elder Scrolls game, and there were grumblings about that as well. Like, I don't understand. Like, historically, this happens all the time when a developer says, hey, we're taking a game that you love on PC and or console, and we're making a mobile version. No one ever gets excited about it unless it has the words candy
does.
Or crush in it.
No.
Like, no one's going to get excited.
The people that get excited are the people that don't know about it until it's on the App Store, and it becomes, like popular. Then they get it. It's like, no one who's a fan of those series don't give a shit.
No one's going to play it. And here's the thing. Here's the sad part about it. Blizzard's probably going to make a fucking payday off this. Because mobile games are hot financially for these companies. They're not a great thing for consumers who love these IPs in general, because we're not going to play those. So it's ridiculous.
No,
like,
God,
they're obviously placating us, saying this is going to be a great experience, guys. Even if you love Diablo on console or PC, you're going to love this. No, it's bullshit. They just want to make some money, and they're probably going to, so... but Ching also responded to the claims that Diablo Immortal may be a reskin by saying the following, and I quote, "We've been working with NetEase Games from the beginning as a partnership to create everything in Diablo Immortal. We have artists on our side, and we have artists on their side, and we work together as a team, as a partnership, to create everything about Diablo Immortal. The environments, the characters, the skills, the story," end quote. So... It sounds like right there he's just like in defense of that this is a reskin of a previous game that's built by the people who are making Diablo Immortal. It sounds like he's just bringing out a checklist of ways to make games. Like, okay, guys, we're going to make a game. Get ready for this. We're going to make some environments. We're going to have some characters in there.
Some graphics.
This character is going to have some skills. We got some graphics we're going to throw in there, and there's going to be a story. Mm-hmm.
And like effects. Lots of effects.
A lot of effects.
And particles. Particles, like, as well. That's a big word, big buzzword, particles.
Like, we get your game's going to have that stuff in there. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this, I'm tired of them placating us and speaking to us like we actually give a shit. Like, we know why you're making this, because you're going to make a lot of money off of mobile games. That's just the industry you're in. You're going to make money on mobile because it's low cost to develop and it's a high return on investment. We get that. Yeah. Don't tell us that we're going to enjoy this, because we're not. It's not a fucking video game. Like, it's not. It's not a traditional... I think saying it's not a video game is a little unfair, but it's not the traditional gameplay that we come to expect for a Diablo game, and it's not going to, and it never will reach that. So just say, hey, this is an opportunity for us. We think we're going to make a fun mobile game so people who like mobile games can enjoy this and also pay microtransactions, because that will most definitely be in there. We're not dumb, right? I mean, that's going to be in there.
No, 100%. That's probably the whole game plan.
Probably. So... I wish there was a way that we could just, like, sue them for treating us like assholes. That's what I would want to do.
I don't know. I'm distraught. I don't fucking...
I honestly don't care.
Moving on!
I honestly don't care. I'm like, it doesn't bother me either way. I might buy the Switch version. There you go, Blizzard. You're going to get my money somehow.
The Switch version.
I'm not buying the Switch version. Fuck that. It's like, I already played it on PC. I already played it on PS4 and PS3, I think. I'm done. I'm done with it.
I'll play with you on Switch. Okay.
All right. The That's nice.
So speaking of suing people,
speaking of silence,
a British website called Trusted Reviews this week pulled an article and apologized to the publisher Take-Two Games and said it was donating £1 million or $1.3 million American to charity after publishing leaked information about Red Dead Redemption 2 way back in February of this year. It's a radical move that raises serious questions about editorial independence and legal threats. against the press. Trusted Reviews, which is owned by TI Media, is a tech website that publishes deals and reviews, and in February published an article sourcing leaked internal Rockstar documents that leaked a whole bunch of information about the game. Now that article is completely gone and wiped from the website. The quote from Trusted Reviews was, on February 6, 2018, we published an article that was sourced from a confidential corporate document. We should have known this information was confidential and should not have published it. We reservedly apologize to Take-Two Games, and we have undertaken not to repeat such actions again. We have also agreed to donate over £1 million to charities chosen by Take-Two. And then Take-Two responded, we take security seriously and will take legal action against people or publications who leak confidential information. Because this situation involved information about Red Dead 2, Rockstar Games directed the settlement funds to these three great charities, which are three charities that went to funds supporting American Indian college funds. So this is interesting. And it is kind of like a weird conversation because obviously Chris and I understand, you know, living in America, like the media has their constitutional right to kind of post anything they feel is worth posting when it comes like a source comes across their plate and everything. So it was kind of weird that to see a corporation outright sue a media outlet for essentially doing their job.
And this is more, this screams as more of a an act of intimidation to me.
I agree.
Just from the amount of, because I mean, Rockstar's got money; they can, you know, they can drag this out forever.
Yeah,
and you know, the media outlet, who knows what they've got? You know, it's like they may not have. I mean, the fact that they're donating £1 million is, it shows they've got a little, has some money at least, but do they have enough to go head to head in a legal battle with Rockstar?
And, which is probably what happened. So this happened in February and it's now 8 months later and they're now just wiping the article from their website. So obviously this has been 8 months of litigation and a settlement process going through to make Trusted Reviews donate all this money and wipe the article completely and everything. I mean, the article was unclear whether Trusted Reviews violated any British or American laws in obtaining this document or if Take-Two went after the website, but obviously they did. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, this wouldn't be a story we're talking about if Rockstar did not go after them. But that's just the curious part. So off air, Chris and I were talking about this, and I looked up some legal jargon, and a corporation does have the right, if it is confidential material, they have the ability to go into some sort of litigation or full out sue a media outlet if the information they have is confidential corporate documents. So it's weird that they can do that, but I'm sure it was a super complicated process since it's between two entities in two different countries. But yeah, the whole intimidation thing, especially we're in a post-Fortnite going up against Sony and strong-arming them to force their accounts to be unlocked from Sony. But like that was something Sony needed to do. Like they just had to do that. There was no reason why they shouldn't have. Their mentality of, well, hey, we don't have to, was just ridiculous. But this is going towards like free speech and, you know, the information ideology of like people need to know if something comes across the media, people should know about it. Like we get leaks in the US White House all the time and those leaks get broadcasted out by numerous media outlets, and yeah, the media outlets get slammed verbally, but there's no legal repercussions that come from that. It's just something that happens, and they are allowed to do it. They have the right to do that. So it's just like an interesting situation that Take-Two went into that, and because at the end of the day, it's like it's a video game. It's not like they were like leaking the ending or leaking like the, I think the leaks were
what was in the article anyway.
The leaks were that you could from the document let's see. Blah, 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 blah. It contained a list of bullet points that claimed, among other things, that you'll be able to play all of Red Dead 2 in first person, and that the online component would have a battle royale mode. Those were pretty much the two big leaks.
So what's wrong with that? One of them is true. The second one is not confirmed yet. So, like, I don't.
It's all about just the information getting out before they wanted it to. It's them not having control. Like, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like
if any reporting, if that leaks, it leaks. You have no reason to sue anyone. Like, it's just like people doing their job or reporting stuff that leaked. That's not on them. It's on you as a company. Like, that's tough shit. It happens in every single business ever in the history of life.
Yeah.
Including personal people, like secrets.
But I've never seen in like the video game industry, like an actual, like, you know,
like developer or something suing. Go after, yeah.
Yeah. Now, like, this is a
situation. They signed an NDA or something and went and revealed all that shit. Yeah, totally. Go for it.
Totally.
But
this is obviously someone internal behind the scenes, maybe a developer or someone working at Rockstar, went and released this information to someone.
Yeah, they can't
sue
shit.
That's well, they did, and they won.
No, they can't.
So.
They actually.
In the legal jargon that I read, yeah, they do have the right to do that. They have the right to sue.
It's a slippery slope.
It really is a very slippery slope. Yeah,
you know, because you're basically. I mean, if there's a clause in there that's saying that they can sue over confidential information being leaked, I mean that's great and all, but it is still. You know,
like, sue the person who leaked it, not the person who got the information.
Exactly. Right? You should be suing the person who leaked it. And like Travis said, you know, shit leaks all the time and people report it. It's nothing unusual. It's nothing new. It happens all the fucking time. So I don't know why this is different.
Rockstar, honestly, like, I've heard so many horror stories from them. I actually know a person personally who worked for Rockstar Toronto, and like they're just like, they make so much fucking money, like, who cares? Like, just let it go. Like, they probably spent more money on that case than what they would have gotten back from the devastation or the harm that would have come from those leaks. Like, why even bother?
Yeah,
like, just like, it's like a company based ego, which doesn't, I don't know, I just like, just who cares? Like, just
my last thing to say on this, like, it sucks for this media outlet because they were just doing their job.
Yeah,
exactly.
They were just doing their job.
What they heard,
and then
what
you
they
have
got,
this, you have this billion-dollar company who's going to come in here and say, "We don't like what you did, so we're going to sue you." And here's the bad thing: at the end of the day, there is a very, very strong chance that this media outlet, going through the court system,
is going to get hurt big time.
It actually would have won the case, but at what financial cost?
Millions
of dollars it would have cost. So I think they got to the point where they knew Take-Two could take this to the finish line, even if they were at risk of losing, but they were saying, you know what? We'll let you settle for X amount of dollars. Yeah. Now, and to me, it's like such a slap in the face because Take-Two's like, yeah, you can settle, and we don't even want your money. Go ahead and donate it. Like, and it's fine. Yeah. It's great that they donated to some really good, worthwhile charities. That's great. Three great charities get a lot of money. Awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, the slap in the face to be like, we don't even want your money.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, my God, what dicks.
It's like, we're just doing this just because we can.
They're doing it to set a precedent, to say no one else fucking do this to us.
They're setting an example. That's exactly what they're doing.
That's all this was, and it's, oh man, that's so.
Yeah, I've already deleted my Red Dead Redemption.
I'm done. I'm not.
I actually traded it in. I took it digitally in just when we were on break, and I traded it into GameSpot for $1.50.
Well done.
I'm like three missions.
Wait,
away from
they gave you $1.50? Damn, they raised their buy prices.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
if you delete the game before you beat it, you get an actual injunction from Rockstar Legal.
From Rockstar. Yeah. I can't talk shit about our shit. You didn't beat it.
So that's it for news, guys.
It didn't take fucking 60 minutes to walk from one forest to the other. This game wouldn't be fucking $120. Just saying.
And Chris might play it.
Give me some flying cowboys and maybe Chris will be interested.
That's right. I want fly. You put me on a fucking Pegasus. If you want horses, you better have wings.
All right, that's the news. That is all for that.
We have any emails or anything? Of course we don't. What's our next segment after?
Yeah, emails? Actually, I didn't even look at emails.
I don't think we
have. I'll check real quick.
I'm gonna skip you the trouble and be like, nope.
Oh, please, that'd be an email. That would be so great. That'd be so great.
Oh, here's one. New designed RGBW LED. Oh, no, never mind. It's spam.
Sorry. Well, thanks for getting my semi really disappointed, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Now his penis is just mush. I'm not going to help you with that,
though. It's not, that's not my job. Yeah,
now it's just squishy.
Now it's just squishy mush.
Let's see.
Oh, my phone just died.
Nope. No emails.
All right. Cool.
You guys want to spoil Spider-Man?
If we can do it really quickly or not. We're at an hour right now.
Let's wrap up the show first, and then we'll do a quick Spider-Man spoiler after the
wrap-up.
Yeah,
let's do the wrap-up. Wrap-up, then I'll go for a quick break. And then
all right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and what's that other thing?
Words.
Twitter, that other social media outlet. Just search for Indus, and you should find us. So thank you guys for listening. And until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes if you want to hear the spoilers for Spider-Man. If not, move on now, and we'll talk to you next week.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Peace out. Either way, we still love you.
We do love you. All right, so Spider-Man.
That's a game.
It is a game. It is a game that we all beat.
And we all enjoyed.
It is a game that all of us agree will be in the running for Game of the Year this year.
100%, yeah.
Did you guys finish everything? Did you get the platinum?
I did. I did not get the platinum, no. I need to do all the crime missions. I'm sorry. I wish there was just a button you'd just be like, do a crime mission, do a crime mission, do a crime mission, do a crime mission. That's like the only thing I need to do to get the platinum. Like, fuck.
Yeah, that was easily the most tedious part. But, that's a very small...
Small issue with the fact that I even did the other collectibles after I beat the game is fucking says something to how good that game is.
Yeah. So the last trophy I got was beating the game. I had actually done everything. I was like, I don't want to stop playing this game. I'm so close to the end, but I don't want to stop playing. So I did everything and then went and beat it. But
so we're gonna spoilers? We have three talking points to talk about. Three main talking points. To
okay.
About this.
What are
Which
those
one do you
want
to tackle first?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't know what you're talking about.
The death of Aunt May. Might as well go with that first.
Oh, man, this was rough, dude. Why? This is probably the one part of the story was like, why? I mean, it was such a good. It was presented so well, but I did not want to see this happen. It's like,
right?
You know, Pete has already lost his uncle, he's lost his parents, and now Aunt May's gone too. And then for him to have to make the decision to not use the cure on her so that it could be mass produced for the rest of the city. I mean, could you imagine having to make that decision?
God, no.
I wouldn't
have done that. Like, I would have pulled a what's his face from Last of Us. I mean, like, nope. Like, yeah. Taking her back.
I don't know. I honestly can't tell you what I would do in that situation.
It was so, and it was so masterfully acted, because like he had it up to the IV drip and he was about to do it and he just had to stop. He knew it was the wrong decision and you saw it in his face and in the mocap. Like, it was just so well performed. I think it was a huge moment for Spider-Man as a character, and I love that they're taking this story and they're not bound by the chains of any other
like the Marvel
Spidey story.
Or
yeah, the universe itself or the other Spidey stories. Like, Spidey has done in the comics like a death of Aunt May type thing, but the scope of this and what he had to emotionally fight against within himself to make that decision. Was such a cathartic experience, not just for you as a player, but as Peter Parker, as Spider-Man, because he's been Spidey for 7-8 years at this point, and he's never had to make that kind of decision before. He's had to, like, you know, stop mass destruction by Rhino like 100 times, and he's had to do so many things and fight all these spectacular bosses. I mean, these spectacular villains, but he's never had to make this one difficult decision before.
Especially after losing his other family members and shit like that.
Yeah, it was such a great moment. I love that. And but it's nice. I think the scene, the two scenes afterwards with Mary Jane and Miles were a great reminder that he has people in his life that he that he can continue on with, that can keep him grounded and not focusing on, you know, the death of his aunt and everything like that. Because he has a support structure there to remind him that as hard as it hurts, he made the right decision. He did the right thing. So
do you want to touch on Miles now?
I love Miles in this game. I thought it was a great surprise to actually have him as a playable character for a couple of sections, because we knew MJ was going to be a playable character for certain parts of the game, but like to play as Miles, that was a, especially during the scene where his dad died, that was a really fun
scene. Actually really good, especially when you spend the time with his dad doing the missions and stuff like that, like at the harbor front area.
Right. Where Spider-Man actually gets involved with his dad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. So, like, the big thing is, obviously, Miles gets bitten, and he has spider abilities.
And I had to say, I knew, it's like...
That was coming, for sure.
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
But who follows any, like, I don't even follow the comics that much, but
I'm not even saying that. I mean, everybody knows Miles Morales ends up being a Spider-Man in a Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
and one of the spider verses, or whatever you want, however you want to say it. But as soon as MJ walks into that secret room and you see a box of spiders, you were like, I was like, okay, so she's gonna break that. One's gonna crawl on her, and somehow it's gonna get to Miles. And it's just like
I had an audible like fist pump, like scream, like the second Miles got bit, I was come on.
But you knew it was coming, like as soon as you saw the spiders in that room, I mean, you knew it was coming,
right? And that's fine.
And you know
to me, that's not
how
it
was going
to
work. So,
and I know you're not saying that as a knock, as like it was unexpected.
No,
it's not
a
negative.
People who don't follow the comics probably did not see that coming at all. They had no fucking idea.
If they don't know who Miles Morales is.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, I only knew about him for the last, until like the last year or so, people talking about, because they wanted, what's his face to play Spider-Man? Donald Glover.
Danny Glover.
Donald Glover. And I was like, oh shit. So then playing the game, like, okay, yeah, he's obviously become Spider-Man. And you see it, it's like the second, it's the first mid cutscene, I think it is,
right,
where he meets up with Peter and says, "Yo, something's weird's happening." He's like, "What do you mean weird?" He's like,
"It's such a great line, dude, because he thinks he's talking about like his body."
He's going through puberty and shit.
He's like, "Well, it's a little late, but."
And Peter's like, and then he jumps on the ceiling, and Peter's like, "Oh shit!" And I'm thinking,
it's
the next game. Do you think we're going to alternate between Peter and Miles?
I think most definitely we'll play between both characters for sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too.
I would actually like to have it to where it maybe there's not that much of a time jump in between those, and we actually get to have Peter teaching him how to be Spider-Man. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'd like to see like a origin story for Miles, like becoming like another Spider-Man. That would be
getting
cool in a game.
It.
Yeah.
I want to actually control that first time swinging where he's like, oh,
he's
my God,
awkward as fuck.
I want to experience that as a player. I think that would be really fun.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, that's true.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess the other two are the end. So the very end, there's a cut scene after
We get a nice scene with MJ and Peter.
Oh, you do get that too. Yeah.
Like they're the relationship is obviously now at full fruition, like
rekindled. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
I mean, no big surprise there either. So.
She wants Peter to move in.
Not so much spoilers though. That's just like, it's, I mean, it's Mary Jane. Of course they're going to get
it. But it was a nice scene. Like, but they had a couple of scenes in the game sitting at that diner, and I really like both of those scenes. Mm-hmm. Again, the voice acting and the mocap work, it was phenomenal on those. You really see the emotion in their eyes and everything. And that Stan Lee cameo on that first diner scene.
Awesome, that was really awesome. That's really good. I loved that.
Yeah, I think we hinted at that, but we didn't actually talk
about it. He had he had the best facial capture in the entire fucking game.
No, yeah. It looked just like it.
It was so good.
Just like it.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I was reading or I think I was listening to a podcast where the journalist who got to play a deep dive, like a deep preview into that, like a 4 or 5 hour preview, they actually got to see that diner scene. But there was just like a random ass character who did that. So like even reviewers who got to that scene again. Stan Lee was even a surprise for them. Like saw another character previously when they were doing the preview build.
Yeah, oh, so that's cool. Really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, what I was getting to is the last scene. So throughout the game, you find out that Harry Osborn is sick and he's not doing well.
Yeah. And then everybody thought that he was in Europe or whatever.
Yeah, he's at his dad's apartment the entire time.
He's in his dad's apartment in a secret area where he's in a tank, basically. And then there's two different theories on this, and I want to know what you guys' theory is. Mine is Harry's going to become Venom. I think that's very, very obvious. I'm guessing they're going to turn away from the actual comic canon, and his dad either found the symbiote or something, because it's very green highlighted everywhere in the scene, which is Green Goblin to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that's more Harry's dad doing that thing. And I think Harry is going to become Venom, because the whole scene when it zooms in on the tank and you see the black thing shoot out and grab the side of the tank.
Yeah, so
that's totally Venom.
I think it's pretty clear that it's a symbiote that's attached to him and everything. So we'll probably get some backstory in the second game of how he came to acquire that. Mm-hmm. What I think is going to happen, I don't think that Harry is going to be Venom. Like, this is obviously its own universe. It's its own Spidey story, so they can do whatever the hell. I mean, Batman killed the Joker, so I mean,
yeah, true.
Like, they can do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, they're already having Harry anything to do with Venom is totally not even close to anything of canon of Spider-Man at all.
Yeah.
So they're already going way. They're already pulling like a Joker, Batman killing Joker thing. Like, that's.
I do think they still have an opportunity to bring in Eddie Brock into this and have Harry be more of a carrier to the symbiote, I think that'll give Harry the opportunity to actually be a fully fleshed out character, get healed for whatever is ailing him, and then the progression needs to be Norman Osborn is the one who eventually becomes Green Goblin first.
Yeah,
and
I think
something's
going to stick. Yeah,
yeah, that progression needs to happen. But to have Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin and then have Harry be Venom all at the same time.
Well, I don't think it's at the same time. I just think he's going to have the Venom. Like, he might become a quote-unquote third Spider-Man for Spider-Man 2, where he might have the black costume, or somehow he will transfer it to Peter. Because I feel like the movies and everything have not done Venom justice of how, like, Spider-Man was Venom. Like, he had the symbiote for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got rid of whatever, and then it lashed on Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
So I think it might be Harry. He might be a good dude in the suit. Something's going to happen, and maybe that was when it transitions. Maybe they'll introduce Eddie Brock, and that'll happen. But I feel like they need to do at least a little bit of justice and have him be some kind of hero with the suit, or somehow transfer it to Peter, and then that goes to Eddie Brock, or some kind of villain. Yeah, because like you said, having just Harry become Venom right away,
it's a little too
much. It's a little bit too much, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of too much. I don't know. Yeah, you can't do that. But it's apparent that the symbiote is attached to Harry right now. Like, that's what I got from it, like, for sure.
Sure.
Whether it was created
by
Norman,
they definitely lead you to want to believe that. That's, I mean, they it's not even a hint. It's like, hey, look, you know.
No, it's right on the nose.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Definitely fucking, it's definitely a symbiote, for sure. Yeah. There's no denying that. Like, that shit shot out like a fucking black web and goo, and just like, that. What else could it be? So
yeah.
But overall, I think the endings were a great payoff to an otherwise my phenomenal favorite ending. Game.
My favorite ending to an open world game, I think, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was up there. It could have been a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie ending, like, to be honest with you. Like, after end of credits ending, regular ending, either whichever way you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. It's we're talking about stories earlier, and you said that Red Dead's, like, your favorite story in a video game, mm-hmm. like, to this point. I think, honestly, like, before that, I would probably give it to Spider-Man. It's not just be me, like, jizzing all over, like, how good Spider-Man of a game is. I really, really, really liked the story in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I liked the direction of where they went with everything. I liked the way mm-hmm. they didn't overdo some of the cameos. Like, they didn't, mm-hmm. like, you got an inkling of Black Cat being there. You got an inkling mm-hmm. of some of these other mm-hmm. other characters having a more minor presence and just making things more irritating for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But they stuck to the Sinister Six, and these are the villains they're going to fight, and everybody else was just kind of a cameo.
And they really do light. Shotgun all those characters at you all at once, but it was at the perfect time of the game.
It was such a good climax.
It was such a good time at the game for him to do that. Yeah.
That Doc Ock fight at the end was so awesome. Yeah. Like, I don't care what anyone... I'm really like, great. I don't care how, like... Who care wasn't, like... super original, but the way it broke down and the whole all Doc Ock's his character arc was so good in that game.
I think, like, it was the best part of the game.
Yeah, you cared about him so much. Yeah. So much. Like, he didn't know who Spider-Man, like, but he did. Apparently, it turns out he did know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. Oh. And he still went up against him, and, like, that whole battle, I was like, oh my god.
Apparently, everybody knew who Spider-Man was.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Even Aunt May. But that was, I think that was my favorite part of that ending. Like, I think what made me love the Aunt May death scene so much is when she said, take off that mask and let me see my nephew. I think
that was amazing. Yeah. That was amazing.
Killed me.
Yeah.
Such a good scene.
And even the way they laid out the Sinister Six.
It wasn't really a Sinister Six.
I know, it wasn't, but that's kind of the way they frame it. It wasn't canonically the Sinister Six, but this particular game universe, right?
Yeah.
But the way you fight them, like the different battles that you have, like, you know, pairing up Rhino and
Electro.
Electro and the way, and like the dynamic between the two characters while they're fighting you, like being at odds with each other at the same time.
It was pretty cool.
It was all really, really neat the way they laid everything out.
They were fun bass bottles too. They were actually fun.
The writing was fantastic. I mean, I tell you what, man, Insomniac made a fucking gem.
It's their best game they've ever made.
Absolutely, it's their best game. I agree. Absolutely, it's their best game. Play Spider-Man.
Yeah, seriously.
If you don't have a PS4, go get a PS4 and play Spider-Man.
Yeah, honestly, that's probably, like, I'm not even kidding, that's like a killer app for that system. If you only have an Xbox or a fucking PC or a Switch, honestly, get a PS4 for fucking Spider-Man. Seriously. Yeah,
dude, there are some Black Friday deals that are going to be fucking amazing for PS4s coming up. So, you know, especially if you're in the U.S., go play this game, dude. Please. Yeah. Please, give it the justice it deserves. It's so
give
good.
Insomniac some love. I mean it's one of the best selling games of all year so far, so no, I don't think they really need that much love, but I think it's like, by far, I read something, it's like ridiculously how much more this game sold than any other Insomniac game. Like, it's insane.
And it's, I think it sold, did it sell more than God of War?
I think so. Well, but it's Spider-Man. That's probably why. But it's like,
it's such a strong IP to begin with. Like, Spider-Man.
People
3,
know Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3, which is an objectively bad movie.
Oh, it sucked. Yeah.
It grossed higher than Spider-Man 1 or 2 because it's Spider-Man and then Venom's in it too. Yeah, so it grossed so much. It was such a success financially. So,
but unlike that movie, this is a good fucking game.
This game is so good. This game, they could make. It's like, it's. I mean, Travis said it. They could have made a movie script out of this, out of what they did with this game.
Well, I think Greg Miller said it best on the kind of funny Gamecast, that he felt that this was like the Spider-Man, like, television show, episodic television show that he's always wanted. Like, this is that's what it felt like. It felt like it had a beginning, it had a middle, and had a full season that led up all the way to a great ending. And it left you wanting for more. It left you wanting for that season too. So that was my.
And we talked about Black Hat. I didn't want to interrupt the time, but the first DLC is you're confronting with Black Hat. So that's like they kind of tease her during the game, and the first DLC is you're basically you're with her. So
I have not played
started yet.
Yeah,
no, I haven't played it yet. I have it, but I haven't played it yet. I'm playing Red Dead, but I'm gonna try to play it before next week before we record, because I actually do want to see, because apparently it's not that long. Apparently it's only like 2 to 3 hours long. So
yeah, maybe I'll be able to. That's why I want to wait until everything releases, because I want a nice like thick chunk of Spider-Man.
Yeah, you want? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I want a meaty slab of Spider-Man that I could just lather up and ingest.
Lather up and just fucking, yeah, exactly. You don't want a semi. You want the full-on boner.
I don't want an appetizer, Spider-Man. Yeah. I want the full course, man.
All right. Anything else about Spider-Man then?
No. We'll talk about. I'm sure we're going to talk about it a lot during Game of the Year talk for
Absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Good stuff.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you guys for sticking around if you did. And, yeah, enjoy.
Hope you played Spider-Man, because we just fucked Spider-Man. It up for you.
<That's right. laughs> Spoiled all the good shit. All right, you guys take care.
Bye.